good morning on Tuesday, February 14th, 2012.
Very special Valentine's Day edition.
Yeah, Valentine's edition. You're listening to Brian and Gabe live. I am in San Francisco along with Jack Madden, also in San Francisco.
Good morning and good afternoon to those of you not in San Francisco.
Thank you for allowing us to start later. Gabe Knuth, you're joining us from your home in Omaha, Nebraska.
Heyo.
And joining us from his car outside of a Starbucks somewhere in the greater Atlanta area, we're very excited to welcome Kevin Goodman.
Hi, guys. We'll work for food. Or coffee, as it were.
I was going to start today with, sort of an introduction. Kevin, you've spoken at, I don't know, 8 Bri forums or something like that, and you created RTO software, created the T-Scale product and licensed that to Citrix. You created a virtual profiles product, which you licensed to both Semantic, and then you sold the majority of your company outright to VMware, and you joined VMware. I was going to start with all those things, but rather I would like to start with what the hell are you doing in your car outside of Starbucks with your laptop on, I might add.
Yeah, hey, doing well. Big storm last night, woke up this morning and had no TV, no phone, no internet. You know, that's the problem with getting that one bundle price. Everything went down, apparently, and didn't want to take a chance that it wouldn't be back up before I got, had to go on live and talk with you folks. So off to the Starbucks I went.
And now you're running off a battery, though, too, so we may lose you towards the end here.
Well, you know, I could always walk in. The Starbucks people are eyeing me. I could walk in and get a refill on the latte and then plug in. So,
well,
you know, we're good.
If a cop comes and knocks on your window, just push record on your camera.
And just so we can see it. Yeah.
Yeah. So the topic, there's a couple things I want to talk about today. Windows 8 on ARM specifically. I want to know what Jack the hell is doing with the BlackBerry tablets. But also, I want to, Kevin, start with you. First of all, there was a rumor on the Twitter last week, Kevin, that you are no longer with VMware.
Fact that he's living in his car right now outside of a Starbucks, that's...
hold on. Let me address that rumor, but hang on one second. Excuse me, sir. Do you have a quarter? Thank you. All right, I'm back. Hey, so I think Ruben Sprite started that rumor. Ruben and I were working on the SmackDown guide beginning of February, and then I left VMware on February 3rd, and, you know, there's so many loose ends to tie up. I didn't get a chance to tie up a loose end. That was one of those get the quote approved from me. My quote was, and this is, you know, you've seen the SmackDown guy. Well, yeah. when we were out at VMware, I was out in front of customers. They asked, you know, sure, your salesmen are wonderful salesmen, but have you got any third-party confirmation of – you know, how well your stuff does. And I said, you know, hey, I'd start with SmackDown guide, at least go from there at the beginning of any, you know, virtualization journey. And so I gave that exact quote to Ruben, and Ruben, you know, because it was going to have my VMware name on there, went to say, hey, do you approve of, you know, your director of product management saying this stuff? And I forgot to get the note out to him that I was leaving. So all of a sudden he's like, Goodman's not there anymore. I heard it directly from VMware corporate. And I watched Twitter just blow up, you know. Yeah. It was nice to get the calls for all the people.
Did we lose him? There he is.
Non-compete was 2 years with VMware. And they bought most of the assets of RTO software back in February of 2010. And for those of you, you know, Brian, I know you were a math major, so that comes out to right on 2 years there, if I'm not mistaken.
Funny how that worked out. So now, I mean, you know, you live in Atlanta, and so you're you know, back in Atlanta right now. So what's next for you?
Well, short term, you know, when at someone at this level leaves an organization, it's not a clean break. So right now we're still negotiating. So don't ask me to say any bad things about any of my former employers until we finish all that paperwork. But once that paperwork is done, if it doesn't go to my liking, then feel free to, you know, I know where all the bodies are buried. But no,
man, non-working for Big Company Kevin is so much cooler than working for Big Company Kevin.
So the truth is working for a, you know, in a industry that is going this fast at a pace with the competition that you have in virtualization right there, the opportunities that you have, the sense of urgency that you feel in an organization like that will really drive you nuts. And 2 years of being on the road, and of course, Brian's going to play a violin because he flies more than I do, but at 150,000 miles a year on Delta, it gets old pretty quickly. So I'm going to recharge your batteries. You'll see me doing something here soon, but
didn't you retire once?
Yes, yet undecided.
Didn't you retire once, like 5 years ago or 10 years ago?
Yeah, so the RTO software was the second startup that I started. I had another one previously that went public as DocuCore International, and by the time it went public, I had a very, very small piece of it, but it wasn't enough for me to decide that I was going to sit back and recharge the batteries as well. So, and I think during that period is when I wrote the book, Building Windows 95 Applications and Windows NT Developer's Guide. And
of course. That book, yes.
You know, you can still find that on Amazon if you want. Last time I checked, it was 63 cents used.
But there's a thing. But I mean, you know, I'm saying this is a book that I would not be able to get into the first three pages before it's over my head, and I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
So I tell you what, Brian, that a little bit of experience I have back there as a developer is going to play well into our Windows 8 strategy, because I read what Sanofsky said, and I read your take on it. And, you know, one of the things that when we get to that subject today, I want to talk about is I think you're missing the developer aspect of what Microsoft's trying to do with their Windows 8 strategy here.
And,
you know, on the outset, from looking on the outside, you might think that the, you know, the concept of having these two tablet architectures and stuff like that would be very, very confusing. But if you look at it from another angle, and, you know, let's face it, Sanofsky's a developer. He wrote he was the guy who first did the Microsoft Foundation Class Libraries, which was Microsoft's first foray into C++ way back in the, I want to say, early 90s. So, you know, this guy's, you know, pretty long in the tooth and knows what makes Windows, you know, so successful. That, and among other things, hey, Gabe, remember we were trying to decide how many businesses Microsoft had that were over a billion?
Yeah, we had. It was seven, right? But we.
It's yeah. Well, it's 12. But one of the ones we forgot was Visual Studio. Visual Studio does $1 billion. So Brian, think about this. All right, let's take all the ISVs today that are doing.
Yeah, a billion.
Well, let's take all the ones that are using Visual Studio to write Windows app.
Yeah.
Okay. They'd have to be paying $1 million each in order for it to get to be a billion. So it's got to be somebody else, right? Somebody else got to be buying this product. And who it is buying it at those numbers is internal IT staffs.
Mm.
Internal IT apps. And those are the Go ahead.
So it's internal IT staffs, but then didn't we just realize, or Brian, didn't you make the note that it has to be sold through the Windows Store, or apps have to be sold through the Windows Store to be developed for or to run on ARM-based Windows? And if so much of the applications are being developed in-house, doesn't that kind of cut into their revenue for?
No, because internal companies will be able to have sort of their own private connection into the official Windows Store. and the apps that they put into the Windows Store will only be available to the people they specify. So they can specify.
But it has to be Metro, right? It can't be a desktop
app. So let's back up. So first of all, Kevin, great segue into the topic of conversation today. Let's back up a little bit and just kind of level set, because I don't know if everyone has come up to speed with yet what this Sinofsky's announcement was. So last week, Sinofsky, he wrote an 8,000-word blog post where it detailed the Microsoft Windows 8 strategy for the ARM processor. And, you know, we knew a year ago that Microsoft was going to be making Windows on ARM, but they didn't really announce a lot of details. And I know, Jack, you wrote stuff, and I had stuff in the past few months about, you know, what are they going to do. So this blog post was kind of the blog post that answered all the questions. And the quick overview is, first of all, Windows on ARM. It's Windows on ARM, W-O-A, or I don't know, like WOA?
WOA.
So Windows on ARM, and it's going to be just like another family of Windows, because you have Windows Mobile, Windows Embedded, Windows, you know, all these things. So it's just another family, you know, WOA or whatever is another family of Windows. But it's only going to be available for people to buy the ARM devices new. So you won't be able to download Windows on ARM. You can't install it. You can't buy like a Linux tablet running ARM and get a copy of Windows to install. It's going to be pre-installed, so it's going to be a lot more like Windows Mobile or iOS in that sense. And as you said, Gabe, correct, it will only run apps from the official Windows Store. So no going online and downloading your own apps and plugging them in or anything like that. But the catch is that the Windows Store does have sort of individuals and companies are able to plug into the Windows Store and have their own sort of private apps in the Windows Store that are not exposed to the public. So that's...
That makes sense.
Yeah, so that's...
But then there was a desktop app limitation too.
Okay, well, here's where it gets crazy. Yeah, so here's where it gets crazy. So Sinofsky mentioned that... my chat window just disconnected here. Let's see. Stand by.
In Chatango? Nobody's saying anything.
All right.
You're not missing anything.
So first of all, there's no virtualization, no emulation, no porting, no nothing. So it's going to be only Metro apps, only apps from the Windows Store, and you're not allowed to port or make any sort of crazy, you know, bring in old apps or virtualization or whatever. But the big question was, remember, Metro is this new UI for Windows, and the question is, when we talked about Metro and Windows 8 in the preview, there was like the Metro UI and there was the traditional desktop UI. So it's almost like Program Manager and Explorer or something. It's now like whatever, Metro, Stardy, and the traditional desktop. And so what's interesting is that with Windows 8 on ARM, Sinofsky said that it's all Metro only apps, except they are going to include a desktop mode. And he said, you know, the desktop mode, it doesn't add any overhead. So, of course, you know, why take it away? People have been using PCs and Windows for years and they're used to choice and everything. So, you know, because he even said, like, some people said that we're going to make a cut from the desktop mode and just do away with it completely. But if we can have it with no additional overhead, then why not include it? And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. Like, I'm down with that. But here's the catch, though. The desktop mode... No one is allowed to put apps into that desktop mode. So not even, you know, the private developers through the Windows Store can create their brand new Metro apps and put those into the Metro side of things. Developers are not even going to be allowed to create ARM-based desktop apps to run in the desktop. So this desktop mode, there's only like four apps that are in it. It's going to be Desktop Internet Explorer, the Control Panel, Desktop...
File Explorer. Right?
File Explorer, yeah, Windows Explorer. And Office 15. So, but what's weird is, but no one can add anything, and the Internet Explorer 10 that comes on the desktop mode is going to have no plugins, like no plug, because you can't add anything.
This sounds like it was back in the day with Windows NT, and you know we had what was it, MIPS Alpha and PowerPC as well, but it was only a niche solution because there weren't any apps that ran on them. So you know it was just a few people occasionally that would run them for whatever niche reason they had.
But at least they could write apps that they wanted to.
And yeah, in this case, true.
So it's crazy. And so the reason for this, people say, like, what? So Microsoft says, well, you know, people want to do advanced tasks like advanced file manipulation.
Like, maybe we should be thankful that's in the TouchFace interface device that, like, hey, they at least gave us a real file manager, even if it's not designed for the interface.
Yeah, because they do point out that the Windows tablets, even Windows on ARM tablets, are going to, you know, allow printers to plug in and mass storage and hard drives because it's still Windows. So you want like a real file manager there.
I just like, yeah, but okay, so we half-assed this and here's our old solution that doesn't work really well and you should be happy that you have that.
Well, what's weird is when you ask...
that's what Jack's like. We should be happy that we have a file manager even if it's not optimized for the device that we're on. And that's crap, man. Like Microsoft should be... like if they want it to be there, it should be there, but it should be, you know... optimized. It should be ready there for touch and not just running as a Windows desktop off to the side that you can't do anything else with.
Well, and so go on, Kevin.
Microsoft knows that developers are what rule the day. It's what, you know, going back even farther from when Windows NT came out, Gabe, the battle they had with OS 2 back in the day was won because you could get a free SDK and start writing Windows apps, and to get an OS 2 SDK, you had to contact the same rep that sold you your IBM mainframe. What? A $200 SDK or a $2 million mainframe? I'll call you back. You know, he didn't even know the SKU of it, you know? Whereas all you had to do was send a... this shows you how old I am. All you had to do was send a CompuServe to Microsoft and then send you an SDK in the mail. If you can get these developers, if you can get the mindshare on them to say, wow, this is where we can go. We can do it half-assed first to get it up and working, but you're not going to have to retrain me. And that's what the COIO doesn't want to have to do in these big, large IT shops. What? I'm looking at all this retraining to do Objective-C so I can get our corporate iPad up and running? Or I can maybe, you know, get up and going with the same C++ that they're using, or XAML, or, you know, and we're up and running. And let's face it. So, you know, one of the other thing that they have to get to is not just the internal guys. They're going to have to get, you know, the ecosystem to play along. And I can imagine you're going to see a Mozilla version out for Metro. You know, Citrix is going to have to come out with a client for it. You know, but the big piece there is everybody knows, no matter how good Citrix can do their clients, you really don't, the mouse and keystroke applications don't translate well to these tablets. So you got to get the developers to change and make them, you know, specific to those devices.
I should say in that blog post, we've been referring to tablets. Brian, in your post, in your reaction to this, you were talking about tablets. But in that blog post, they talk about ARM PCs far more often than they talk about tablets. And so I feel like that Microsoft's vision for this is larger than tablets. I think it's just putting that SoC, that system on a chip that makes up the ARM platform, into whatever devices make sense. So I feel like we can compare this stuff and talk about it in the context of tablets, but I feel like we're also not throwing out keyboards and mice at this point.
Well, you know,
because it looks like there's going to be ARM PCs, and they specifically refer to ARM PCs, and then later refer to the fact that they will also have ARM tablets and Windows or x86, x64 tablets. So I think that PCs are still in the mix, even ARM-based ones.
So PC is you mean was a device with a keyboard and mouse?
Yeah, the same thing that's under your desk right now, but you know, without the typical motherboard, processor, video card, all that stuff, just an ARM SoC, or a Windows 8 SoC.
Well,
running it.
And I guess, I mean, you know, the Mac. So I use a MacBook Air, or I guess I could say I use an Ultrabook form factor device. And if they
no, that's trademarked.
They just charged me $200 for saying that. So maybe it's, if Windows is Windows, it's still, I mean, Windows 8 on ARM is still real Windows, and it can run real apps in real Office. So if that gives me a device that...
but it can't, but you have to have the apps for it. But so Windows on ARM is still limited. It's not the tablets that are limited to Metro-only apps from the Windows Store and desktop apps that, you know, you can't,
yeah,
you can't buy. So the same limitations still apply. It's just that those limitations are much more broad when you're considering that it runs on a PC or a desktop form factor as well.
What came into my head, Gabe, when I saw that was that all those ARM devices are going to have touchscreens. Still, even the ARM PCs, I didn't anticipate. You know, you just might have a 19-inch touchscreen on that.
You know, Kevin, that's exactly what I was thinking. Because otherwise, like, you have a device without a touchscreen and no desktop apps for it. What are you going to do with it?
You can use a mouse with Metro.
then you just have to move the mouse farther because the buttons are bigger and farther apart.
Every single person who downloads this Windows Community Preview next week is going to be using a mouse for Metro, right?
Oh, absolutely. I used the developer edition already in Fusion, and it's the same. You still have a keyboard and a mouse with Metro. I mean, it's no different than anything else, really. So I feel like you're right. Like, we go to touch instantly, and that's partly because Microsoft is talking about touch, about how Office is, and unfortunately I'm using Brian's paraphrase versions because they're much easier to remember, but how Office has been sort of touchified, but it's still basically a desktop app. So even Microsoft is talking about touch as kind of being the focus here, but I don't think that all the stuff that we're talking about is limited only to tablets. I think that PCs are also in there with keyboards and mice, just like normal. They're going to be low-cost solutions, integrated solutions, almost thin clients, basically, that run Windows 8 that people can use in the enterprise, which I think is – conceptually, I like that, but the limitations are still important there. And I feel like they have to be there because we're talking about ARM and not Intel. And so not being able to run desktop apps – without some sort of translation or something, I mean, that's going to happen no matter what if you're talking about ARM. But the fact that you can't actually that you're not going to be able to go buy the ARM versions of software or something to run on these devices, that's kind of limiting in my mind.
Well, so getting back, and I guess let's put this desktop mode to bed. You know, the thing about the desktop mode that's interesting to me is it's a little bit, I feel like, disingenuous from Microsoft for them. If in Sinofsky's post, he said, they're asked why it's Metro only, and they said, look, Metro is the future. These devices are made for touch. This is the new, WinRT is the way that new Microsoft thing going forward. Developers just need to, stop whining and just make their apps, just work on their apps for Metro because that's the future, and they just need to do that and, like, suck it up, comma. Which is something we couldn't do ourselves. Because, Ed Bott wrote that he feels the reason that there's this desktop mode in there is just because there's too many features. Like, all the internet security options or IE options, all the control panel options, parental controls, all this stuff, the advanced firewall, networking configuration. The fact that, Office itself is something that they could not obviously rewrite in WinRT, and they had to go with the desktop one, although they did say that they sort of streamlined Office and made it run to be more respectful to power and the CPU limitations of an ARM device, and they also added some more touch-type capabilities to Office, but it's still desktop mode Office. So it's so weird for Microsoft to be saying to all of these partners out there that you cannot, just suck it up, stop your bitching, and move over to the WinRT Metro-type platform, except, of course, we could not have done that ourselves, so we're going to take a little, we're going to cheat over here, but you guys can't do that. So that's the first thing. That if I'm a developer, that just makes me bitter. You already know what I think of Microsoft from last week. So this is just adding more items to my shit list about Microsoft right now.
It's not. It feels like when Apple switched over to from OS 9 to OS 10, I feel like that was a controlled crash, right? Like, I feel like they there was ample warning, and then developers were on board, and they gave people the ability with the Rosetta, is that what it was?
No, Rosetta was PowerPC to Intel.
That's right. Was it Coco? Something there was.
That was there, Coco to Carbon was, or Carbon to Coco? I think was when OS 10. But the difference though is that whatever Apple did, they played by their own rules. This is Microsoft saying that, no one is allowed to develop desktop apps for Windows on ARM except for us. And to me, controlled crash or not, the fact that they're making an exception for themselves, like if they can't get their shit together, how is it fair that they expect all the developers to get their shit together?
Well, that's what I mean, though. So Apple pulled off a similar feat, and it didn't. I mean, if you ask the developers, they'll be like, "Yeah, that was a train wreck." But I mean, it pretty much worked, and the flexibility was still there. People had the ability to develop apps for the new platform and the old platform, or both. And but that doesn't exist now, and that's
this is a train wreck.
Maddening.
So the proof of the pudding will be right when if you start seeing beta Metro apps. And Brian, you brought up WinRT. So the Windows runtime, the ability to write in C#, C++, Visual Basic, whatever, and have it talk to this API that goes ahead and abstracts a device from you. The key will be if that does, in fact, work to the point where it's easy to convert these apps. And if you start seeing... Well, I think I even saw an announcement. Of course, you're going to see a Mozilla, but if you see Adobe Reader and all of these betas come out that tell you that the you know what Sanofsky's saying is correct and it is an easy port, and you obviously you're going to see IE10, but you know the things that people are going to want to have on this tablet in order to make it work are the application. So is Facebook going to have an app? Is LinkedIn going to have an app? Or are you going to have your RSA app? Am I going to be able to do my secure ID, my two-factor authentication through this tablet?
Well, even BlackBerry has those apps. So I'm sure those apps will be on this thing. But the question is, though, to what you're saying about developers is if you've got a Visual Studio developer who has been working on their apps for... You know, for 15 years, all their in-house apps. And I don't know, Kevin, if you know enough about this, but do you feel like for them it'll be a baby step? It'll be pretty easy for them to keep on using their existing environment, their existing method of operation, and to just sort of continue down that path and just take all that existing IP they have over the past 15 years and with a few different UI elements make that work in WinRT and make that work on Metro?
Do you know what? With the question you just asked, will determine the success of this device. If those guys can get it up and running, and maybe with the same level as you're seeing in Office 15, you know, look, I can use OneNote, but it's really I can't wait for the next version. If I can use it, if I can get it up there, it may be a CIO saying, "Wow, I don't have to invest in you know Objective-C." Training for all of my we have that one guy we hired out of school, but the rest of these guys, you know, I can take advantage of their experience, and instead of looking at rewrites, I'm looking at ports. And port fests are always cheaper than rewrites. Lots of developers want to do rewrites. Lots of the industry sometimes wants you to do rewrites. The gentleman that created C#, Anders, one of the things that Microsoft realized is it's almost social which language is popular. When it was C++ and there was a down economy back when Java came out, well, if I do a rewrite in Java, I can hire those cheap kids straight out of school because these expensive C++ programmers, I can't afford them. So startups get created with Java and stuff. What happened 5 years later? We came out with .NET and C#, because now... Can you compete as a Java programmer with 5 years experience against that C# kid that just came out of school who worked for almost nothing? You know, that's why these things keep rotating. And well, what do you know? Another down economy and another new language. Here we go again.
But isn't the new language Objective-C?
WinRT, I could use C#. I could use HTML5. I could use XAML. I could actually with... You're open to whatever you want to do with WinRT, right?
Yeah, but where I was asking, like I was kind of asking it in a.
Oh yeah, and why did the iPhone take off?
Like
why did the
iOS was it, right? Yeah. So like my
when Objective, so no, like, Objective-C's.
I was gonna say
Objective-C's been around for a billion years, but all of a sudden there was a new device to take advantage of it, right? The iPhone.
So my question though is that aren't all these young kids that will work for free, for almost free right out of college, who are all 22, aren't they all writing in Objective-C for iOS now?
I would say yes.
So
yeah,
how does Microsoft, I mean, is that not just the next I mean, can't, like, if an organization wants to go to tablet, and Apple sold 18 million tablets last quarter, so they're going to sell, you know, whatever, 100 million this year, are, like, isn't the organization asking themselves the same thing? They have this gray-haired, you know, Visual Studio developers that could take the existing apps and write them for Windows RT or for WinRT, but then, I'll just hire four more 22-year-olds for $30,000 each, and we'll do it in Objective-C and just write it for iOS.
Yeah, you know, you know, time will tell. The whole strategy may or may not be successful, but if it is successful, it's because these apps will be written. But, you know, right now you have iOS programmers for years. How long has the iPhone's been out since 2005, right? Or
2007,
six?
I think, yeah.
Seven? Okay. So you got 5 years again, you know? So now down economy and trying to get a job as an iPhone developer. And, well, man, there are no jobs. How about Metro? Let's try it.
Yeah. And the Metro, I think you can get Visual Studio for free, right? If you're just a single user license and just want to download and start playing with, I think that's all free. Is that right?
Yeah. The WinRT SDK is free.
Yeah. So
now, if you want support and all that, you have to go through MSDN, but that's, I mean, it's basically free.
Okay, so that does answer the question, because what in the blog post from last week, or yesterday it was, in the blog post from yesterday that I wrote, I kind of said, you know, on the surface, if you look at it, because Microsoft is curating the store, there's no plugins, there is this desktop mode, but it's not really desktop mode, so we can sort of discount that it exists. It looked like that the Windows on ARM tablet is essentially no different than an iPad. It's just you know, Microsoft's version of the iPad. And yeah, because they're going with different OEM, you know, different manufacturers, so sure, there'll be different size ones and you know, keyboards and that kind of stuff. But it's basically just an iPad, since it can have no plugins and all the apps are curated. So my sort of question was, how, if users have to rewrite all their own, or if companies have to rewrite all their own apps anyway for this thing, and the iPad's going to have an install base of, like, you know, 150 million by the time this thing comes out, then what chance does it have? And that's where I left that conversation. So the one point we can get is that maybe one of the angles is that the developers really are used to doing things the way that they have been doing them, so they will be more interested in writing for Windows platform. My question, though, about that is, in order for that to work, obviously the end users themselves have to use these Windows on ARM tablets, or Windows, it could be x86 tablets too, but the users have to use them too. So who wins this conversation? Like, do you, and this is, I'm asking to everyone, like, do we think that companies are going to say, I rewrote this application and now we're going to buy you all? Because no user's buying a Windows tablet on their own, except for, like, the 15 people who are listening to, you know, Microsoft's podcast or whatever. But, I mean, so this means that if organizations want to have these things, they have to buy these tablets for all these users. Are they going to do that? Or are they going to say, oh, wow, 95% of the people who I need to buy tablets for already have iPads, so why not just write my app for iOS and then, you know, off we go?
Well, again, I think that enterprises are going to buy them for as desktop replacements too. I think that's a viable option, is the applications, if the applications appear in Metro, or if they can develop them in an appropriate way for the devices. I think that they can be desktop replacements too. So I'm not, again, like, just I don't want to get cornered on tablets, because I think that there's other use cases. But from tablet standpoint, yeah, you're right, man. Like, there's no way, not with so many people already having Android and iOS tablets. If organizations buy tablets for the people, I mean, they'll use them for work and then throw them off to the side, maybe, or they'll just continue doing whatever they used to do, work related on their tablets, and go to work and use their PCs like normal.
Well, I think there's that danger, right? But the other danger is, I think the Zen Desktop people will agree with me here. The real danger is business as usual. I saw, these are the numbers that we're going with, that half the people are still on Windows XP, maybe 30-35% have migrated to Windows 7.
Wow.
It's going to be difficult to get the 7s to go to 8. The, you know, the XPs, there may be a reason they haven't gone to 7. What you need, you know, is that reason because their app won't port or what have
you? I read an article about people that were waiting for Windows 7 since Windows 8 was so close. They were waiting to go to 8. So still on XP, skip Vista, skip 7, waiting for 8.
Well, as they say, if you're going to rough the kicker.
Oh, man.
You got till 2014, right? So what the hell?
Yeah, but I wrote an article about it. I think it's probably, you know, if you're just doing it just to do it, that's probably the wrong reason. But because there's so much stuff, like, you know, now you not only do you have to worry about all the stuff that came out in Vista and then all the stuff that came out in Windows 7, like the profiles and things like that, now you have to worry about all of the changes that are going to be in Windows 8 too. And so, I mean, you're just, it's just, the amount of problems or issues that you're going to have to deal with are snowballing. you're right, Kevin. I can't imagine people waiting.
Now,
so business as usual wins out in just about every one of those situations because they're like, hey, look, we know how to do this already, so why the hell are we going to change it?
So another sort of thing to add into this consideration is probably, I know you guys on the phone, most of you listening maybe know Denis Gundarev, and Denis is a Citrix CTP originally from Russia, and he actually hosted... it was me and Rick Dellinger and Harry Labana and Robert Morris. He hosted us in Russia, I don't know, a couple years ago. We did a bunch of events out there. Denis has actually since moved here to the Bay Area, but he's still a Citrix CTP, spoken at Bri Forum and stuff. He sends me a note on Twitter yesterday, which is saying something like, I don't agree with your article. I wrote my response, but it's 2,000 words. So can I post that response? Will it fit in the comments? And I look at it. I'm like, yeah, this is an article by itself. So his article will be tomorrow's main post for BrianMadden.com. And he's arguing, because my whole thing is I'm saying, so these tablets, because my view is that since the Windows on ARM tablets, since there's no backward compatibility story, like with desktop apps or desktop mode or porting or virtualization, or I'm not using those words properly, but you're not going to buy these tablets because they're compatible with everything else you have, and if you have to rewrite all your applications anyway, then why don't you just go with the iPad versus this Windows tablet, especially if it can't have plugins and that kind of stuff, so it's not like you can use it with older versions of IE and BrowZim and all that sort of thing. So I kind of said if this is the case, then these tablets are for consumers, right? Because why would an enterprise buy this thing? Because if an enterprise needs a tablet, aren't they going to buy a Windows? Aren't they going to buy an x86 or x64 tablet? And then that way they can run truly all their old applications. They can run desktop mode. They can install whatever they want. So that to me was like my view of the enterprise tablet. It's just going to be x86 tablet. My view of the enterprise. Windows tablet. It's going to be an x86 tablet. So Denis, in his what will become blog post tomorrow, he says that we're underestimating the other advantages of the Windows platform that corporations have. And Gabe, I don't know if you have that post up in front of you right now, but he's talking about...
I just got it.
In terms of security, you know, because, I mean, it's still, you know, Android security and... iOS security is, you know, like Apple controls everything, or it's Android that people are afraid of it being free and open. And so with Windows, it can be your existing mechanisms. It's in the domain. It's the existing way of doing things. There's a registry, you know, all that kind of stuff. So when corporations want to deploy tablets to users, yeah, they may want the characteristics of an ARM tablet, like the good battery life and the low power consumption and the smallness of it and everything. But then they can get all their Windows stuff. By having the ARM tablet. So Denis believes that's the reason why corporations are going to choose Windows on ARM tablets.
I mean, it makes sense. Well, I haven't read the article yet. That process is editing it and getting it posted. So I'll do that later, and we can check it out and comment on it tomorrow. When it goes up.
There's a comment in the on the internet here about. How about notebooks with dual chips, both Intel and ARM? They can run both of them.
That's Chaz.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hey. low power when you need it, more power when you need it. You know,
yeah, Chaz also said, you know, he just reminded us all in the chat window that Microsoft has been known to change their policies. This could be their policy to start, and if they see it doesn't work, or they effectively lock out, or get their toe in the door, get their foot in the door, then they might change it.
Isn't there there's a lot of risk here for So, I mean, there's a lot of risk here, I think, with regards to the whole developer world. I mean, because if the developers get pissed and migrate away from Windows, is Windows done? I mean, is this – I wrote that I feel like Microsoft really needs to knock it out of the park with Windows 8. But man, I just can't imagine if they alienate the developers, or if the developers are like, yeah, screw that, I'm going to go develop over here. Or if the organizations are like, yeah, screw that, I need an app developed for iOS or Android. I mean, I just feel like that could be the end of Windows, because then that causes the mass app migration of applications to other platforms or into the cloud.
Well, and yeah, you know, as we discussed, there's always going to be a need for Windows apps at some level, just from a pure legacy standpoint. And I'm not even necessarily talking about apps that are even updated anymore, but it seems like just like there's still mainframe apps, although I saw the other day that NASA finally turned off their last mainframe just this weekend. But, you know, there are still mainframes being used, and Windows apps, I'm sure, will be used for another 20 years. But
I don't mean that it's going to go away instantly, but I mean, like, it's going to – right now, you know, the consensus is that Windows is dying a slow death, and I feel like the pace of that death is going to pick up rather quickly if Windows 8 fails.
So it was started the death by 1,000 cuts, and then Windows 8 is the guillotine.
One big goddamn cut, yeah.
So, you know, maybe it's the end of Windows on devices. And because, yeah, so my kind of feel is, and I think we talked about this before, that, you know, I think we've already crossed over the point where more new applications being created, even within enterprises, are not native Windows apps. They're creating web apps and, you know, or a device native for iOS or whatever it happens to be. Now, that doesn't mean that organizations are running a majority of non-Windows apps. It just means that of the new apps that are created. So there's going to be a, you know, atrophy period of, you know, I don't know, 20 years, whatever, but at some point we're going to get to the point where, so fine, maybe today, you know, 60% of our apps are Windows apps, and then tomorrow, in 2 years it's 50 and then 40. And at some point, you know, we're going to get down to where only 10 to 20% of our Windows apps are, we're only 20 to 20% of our apps are Windows apps. And I think we're all going to ask ourselves, does it make sense to support this massive Windows desktop architecture just for the, you know, that 15% of apps that require Windows? And perhaps at that point, that's where we take those last remaining Windows apps, move them off of the desktop into the data center. Maybe it's a terminal server model. Maybe it's a VDI, you know, spawned instantly model or whatever it's going to be. And those are delivered remotely. And so the last desktop-based, incidentally, apps are in the data center. And now we don't have to worry about managing the Windows platform on the device. And maybe the Windows OS, maybe that's what Windows on ARM is, because maybe the Windows OS, sure, it's still going to exist because you will have to have an OS on a device, and you'll have Windows on ARM or iOS or Android or whatever. But organizations are not dealing with the fact that Windows is on these devices.
Yeah, and that management of that image, whether that image is at desktop under your PC, or that image is on one of these ARM or iOS devices, is probably what's causing the CIO to scratch his head right now, figuring out how to do that. I mean, that's where all of the expenses are. That's what drives you to want to do something like a Zen app or a virtualization. In addition to that, that's what fueling today companies like Atlantis that are solving those problems with the image, with all of those type of companies out there. The fact that they're making so much money, and Landesk and Big Fix and those guys like that, if if they could come out a way to that, you would reduce those costs for maintaining that image, then that device will win, because it's those expenses are the ones that kill you. The labor intensive ones are what are driving us to try to get rid of that PC under our desk, with its, you know, mean time between failures. And the, you know, the move to virtualization is one of the reasons people are trying to do that. Security and compliance, of course, are the other reasons. But managing that image on that device is, if Microsoft figures that out in a great way, then they could be a winner in this. A lot of risk involved, I agree, but they could be a winner.
Well, now, and Sanofsky did mention that with, and we knew this before, I think, that with Metro, the Metro style interface and these Windows Store apps, they will have isolation built in. So, which is, I think, exactly how the Android platform works and how the iOS platform works. So you won't, because all the apps are coming through the Windows Store, you won't have to deal with, you know, regression testing and compatibility and all that kind of stuff. So it occurs to me as you're talking that there is two different windows here. Like, we are seeing the divergence now. That the old Windows, where you have desktop apps that are not curated through the Windows Store, have all the compatibility issues, and that can sort of move now into the cloud in the next, you know, 5 or 10 years, and live on for another 50 years, but we can get that off of our desktops, and then our desktops do move to that full curated model, especially if it's an ARM desktop, obviously, where everything's sort of tested and very modular. And then in that case, you know, you don't need a Landesk or a Big Fix or, you know, Altiris for Windows on ARM, just like you don't need it for these, you know, Android or for iOS. So now, MDM, man, how's, you know, so Jack, you're doing this study of, you know, these different mobile device management vendors. And what if there's an evolution? So we call it MDM for mobile device management, which
DM.
Yeah, DM for like the desktop management, or in the, historically, but now it's just called DM.
Device. You mean one D for both devices and desktops?
No, what's the difference between I mean, mobile device
desktop
management
and
versus
the same.
Yeah, it was MDM and DDM before, but if the new desktops that are running Metro only can get apps from the Windows Store, and the apps are already tested that they're not going to conflict and all that kind of stuff and everything, so we don't have to do traditional desktop management on these devices. So a lot of the kind of stuff that we do traditionally in the old school Windows world, we don't need to do. So I wonder if we see mobile device management expanding to just plain device management, and it manages your laptop as easily as your BlackBerry, as easily as your tablet, as easily as your
Android.
And
it manages, this application has a password around it, but the password to get into the whole device is only 4 digits and things like that. And you can open this file with this other application, but not this application. And it's the same for the desktop and for the tablet and for the phone.
If all that stuff is predictable, it's not so much of a wild, wild west. And that's what that's what all the solutions out there today do. They kind of help tame the wildness that is Windows right now. And so, but if all of that stuff is predictable, then it's more just who has the best management capabilities centralized, because all the devices, we know what they're going to do. We know how to control them. We know how to configure them and so on. So, yeah, I mean, the line is going to not be very it'll be blurry between the two devices now.
But you mentioned which device has the best management capabilities, and
I mean which package. The devices, I figure they're all going to have the same abilities to be managed. So it comes down to which management package does things the best way.
Like this, for example, this new BlackBerry playbook in my hand, and the Windows 8 ARM tablet, you're going to be able to manage those more completely than you're able to manage an iPad, because, you know, Apple being Apple, there are still things that you can have all the mobile device management software you want, and there's still that stuff that you can't touch. And
I mean, between individual devices. So I'm talking when I say that each device will be equally managed, I mean that each Windows on ARM device will be equally manageable, and each Android tablet or device will be equally manageable, and each iPad, but not compared to each other. Because you're right. I mean, the iOS device is not nearly as manageable. There's not nearly as much stuff exposed to the native hardware, that kind of a thing. So yeah, you're right in that regard.
Although Jack was telling me yesterday that that Android can be more secure to manage than iOS.
If you completely replace the build of the Android OS that you're using with something custom that has all the management built in, because then you can have access to absolutely everything, which is a heck of a lot more than you get access when you're managing an iOS device.
But it's true.
So the device is more secure, not the OS.
Well, but it's still Android. I mean,
the device using your own custom Android build,
yeah,
is more secure.
Because you can build. It's just like how they had in the old days, like the hardened version of Unix, and there's a Windows version of stuff too, you know? And so, because Android is open, an MDM vendor could make their own Android build that was just super, super locked down, and they can go through every line of all that code and make it happen, and then you've got the most securest device. I mean, it's as secure as
Linux. That's a niche. That's a niche market at best, in my opinion, though. I mean, you're going to see the, maybe one day in the future, you'll see the UPS driver with his own Android device that you sign for your package, but I don't see that going out to the masses. If we wanted to manage OSs like that, we would have replaced Windows on our desktops with Linux a long time ago.
We couldn't have, though, because there was no Linux apps.
But as soon as that goes out of date, and as soon as, you know, Cherry Creamsicle comes out or whatever the hell, you know, the next, you know, version of Android would be, you know, as soon as that comes out, it's going to have new features and people are going to revolt. And then we've got the same situation we have now. We've got this dodgy, old, crappy OS that makes things harder to do than what they are out in the real world. And then we go, you know, then we have the users revolting and going getting the new devices with the new features and trying to use those in organizations. And then we have a whole new FUIT play.
So the answer is don't manage the devices.
Oh, zing. But hey, so let me ask you this. So if we evolve, so right now, okay, when we're talking about management of like devices or desktops, right, there's MDM, you know, for mobile device management, and then there's desktop management, which is, as Kevin was mentioning, the Landesk and Big Fix, Alteris, all these kinds of companies. If we move to where Windows becomes this more locked Windows, like it's Windows on ARM or the Metro with Windows Store only and that kind of stuff.
The isolated applications.
Right, so we don't need the traditional desktop management. Two questions come to mind. One, does that mean that these MDM vendors grow to expand? Well, I think the answer is yes, because right now they're going to do Android and they're doing iOS and some of them do BlackBerry. I'm sure they're going to throw Windows on ARM, which is essentially Windows 8 Mobile, is on the same platform, by the way. So that goes the same way. So the question to you, Jack, is all these MDM vendors you're talking to, you're still working on your thing, you're planning on doing this Briveform presentation, yeah?
Yeah.
All these vendors you talk to, do any of them do anything now for traditional desktops? Are there any of the big names that we know? Like, does Microsoft do MDM, or does Symantec has MDM, right? Haven't gotten that far yet.
haven't gotten.
They have Alteris, right? Alteris has it, right?
For traditional desktops, but does,
yeah, but we're for mobile.
Oh.
And the second question is, what does Microsoft do? So Microsoft, I mean, they've got System Center, and I wonder if System Center now expands, because I know System Center, they just started scratching the surface with it being able to do some very basic things with iOS and Android, or maybe it's the 12 version. I think I don't know if that's out yet, but I mean, it's going to be one thing, right? Like, you're just going to have device management, and Microsoft needs to get into the MDM game too then.
Yeah, yeah. And the System Center, it's on my list of things to check out, but my first initial push for this effort was to look at the versions of these products that support actual BYOD, so that lean towards more data and application management, and that fundamentally managing the device is not part of their central mission. So the actual management of corporate devices, maybe that's Briforum Session Part 2.
Yeah, Briforum Chicago.
Because right now it's the look at the devices that can actually accommodate BYOD in the way that most people would think of BYOD being, which is not locking down the entire device.
I'm really curious to see what the message is going to be at Microsoft Management Summit now, which I can't remember if it's in late March or early April or what. But, you know, last year they announced that they had some capabilities to manage devices, you know, BlackBerries and iOS devices and things like that. And I feel like, you know, they're at least aware that this is a big deal. So by that announcement last year. So I'll be really interested to see what the message is there at MMS. And then, of course, with all the Windows 8 stuff, you know, maybe we can actually get in front of people that are in the know and talk to them. I don't think there's going to be too many demos or anything like that, but maybe.
Yeah, the correct MDM strategy, and if it comes from System Center and is tied to just Metro tablets, wow, you have another typical Microsoft lock-in. But the correct one is got to be able to do things like encrypt a device so if somebody else finds it and it doesn't have to just choose 10,000 passwords to get past the PIN, has to be able to do a remote wipe, has to be able to do a self explode. The device needs to implode if it doesn't talk back to the mothership in, you know, 90 days, 120 days, what have you. Those types of things, in addition to being able to update software and decide that you're going to be able to run the correct level of the applications. The other thing that Microsoft has an opportunity here is devices on your iOS right now, the ones that talk Bluetooth, make it very difficult for here in the United States for a federal government to buy, because Bluetooth isn't a secure communication channel. So your two-phase authentications, I use my RSA ID digitally, but all those guys that have to have a card, those common access cards the federal government use, those currently aren't, you know, being implemented on iPads. Or your opportunity there is if you can figure out a way to have the device manufacturers fall in love with you as well.
And I guess that's going to be a big, like, Good does something. They've got a version, but that's just, is that just for BlackBerry or?
I was just thinking about that, and the answer is I don't remember offhand, and I haven't seen exactly
it's a very different world, and yeah, it's not our world.
Yeah, yeah, but they do mention common access card capabilities.
So we're coming up on just a couple minutes left in our hour, and there's a couple things I want to ask real quick. Kevin, now, you know, so you've obviously, I don't have to wait till you leave VMware for this, but I'm just curious. You know, I wrote an article a month or two ago about VMware's own internal VMware view usage, and I'm curious, while you were at VMware, so they say that everyone within VMware has a view desktop available, so they've got a 10,000 seat, you know, build, but the only one third of them use it as their primary desktop. So, Kevin, when you were at VMware, did you use VMware View on a regular basis?
All right. Thanks for catching me off guard there. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think you outed me. I was the guy who used it to get on the corporate network so I could print out my boarding pass.
Oh, that was you.
Because if I didn't upgrade to first class, I wanted the free drink, and you can only get that when you print your boarding pass out. But I'm not the use case for it, though. So if you want to have another conversation about why or why not you want to use virtual desktops, I'm definitely not the use case for it. It is true. We all had, I dog fooded Vue prior to it being on there, and it made a lot of sense in some instances. The truth is VMware doesn't have any corporate apps that I really needed. All the corporate apps that I needed were SaaS apps.
Oh yeah. Yeah. All right. So that's
now, did I use our Horizon product? Yes. But I don't have any Windows apps that I needed to use.
Yeah. So we should continue this conversation on a different on a later show. I want to ask, so Jack, you have been using a BlackBerry tablet for approximately 45 minutes. Give us what's your first 30 seconds of thoughts on this thing?
Well, one of my first thoughts was it automatically played through a demo, and I'm like, I have to sit through a demo. But then it told me that the bezel is touch sensitive, so you can like pull things into the field. So that's kind of cool. I wrote a while ago in some article or another that, you know, why should it matter that much? Because like Facebook on BlackBerry tablet or Evernote on BlackBerry tablet is going to be the same as Evernote on iPad and TweetDeck for BlackBerry. So who cares? So we'll see whether or not I eat my words on that.
All right. Well, on that note, we are out of time for this week. So Kevin, thank you so much for calling in and for being that guy in your car. Gabe is always...
I have 3 minutes left on my laptop. This is perfect.
Perfect. Gabe, thank you. Jack, thank you. All of you, thank you for listening, and we'll see you back here next week.